Well, we say hello from the United States. We're from South Carolina, so it's a little south of here, so Dr. Sorrells is familiar with that. So let me start by saying that I'm a sinner just like you. And what I'm going to present to you is something that's taken me apart and then put me back together. God never unzips you without putting you back together. If you don't believe that, you're not going to do a good job handling life and His providences. Now, if you don't get anything out of these four sessions or lectures or whatever, then at least get that. And what I'm going to introduce you to something is that I believe is countercultural and counterintuitive. That means it's going to be only a Christian can understand that. And sadly, in this psychologized, secularized world that we are, and it comes across the border in Canada and also wherever you go, the United States, is that they do not understand that the cross is a common denominator of all problems in life. So if you don't understand the cross, you won't understand what I'm going to say. So I've got to make it easy for you to understand the cross. So you can help me by letting me know if we are able to do that. Now, when I first became a doctor, I don't know why I became a doctor. People have asked me that. People would have thought I was a surgeon because I was quick to cut and quick to do this and do that and move on to something else. God brought me into rheumatology. Rheumatology is a different animal altogether. The two P's that you need to remember, there's some people in this room that needs these two P's, and it counts not only for rheumatology, physical problems, but also spiritual problems, what I call whole person problems. And I'm going to open that up for you today, tonight some, but more so tomorrow. And what I'm going to give you is Dr. Sorrells, I didn't do a good job. I thought I had sent the notes, and I did, but that was eons ago, centuries ago. That was before COVID, and so I never did follow up and make sure that we had these handouts. But these, we'll give you these handouts. So right now, just hang in there with me. So we're going to start at the beginning. And I have to start at the beginning, and the beginning is God. That's who you start with. But right now, let me just tell you, as a rheumatologist, I came and I became a rheumatologist because I was in the military, and I didn't know anything about... That's okay. We could dance, I guess, okay? But I became a rheumatologist because I was seeing patients I didn't know anything about, because where I trained, we didn't have a rheumatologist. So God trained me. I went to Wilford Hall. That's the biggest Air Force base at San Antonio in the United States, and I had a great teacher there. Nothing about God was there. I was a Catholic and just trying to take care of patients. And so I learned all kinds of rheumatology. I went there, TDY, anybody knows that, temporary duty station. Every month I would go there for a whole day and just walk around getting his. And I did that for 2 years. I came back. I knew a lot of rheumatology. I went to the University of Alabama as an unbeliever, and still was hungry for rheumatology, so God didn't abate that. But my heart was not changed to understand what was I doing to people. So the rheumatoid arthritis would go away. So what? The world would think that was great. Now, don't get me wrong. I love to see rheumatoid arthritis go away. I love to see lupus go away. I love to see osteoarthritis go away. But sometimes God says no, and I was in no position to help people come to grips with God's no. And I would ask you, are you in a position to come to grips with God's no? Whether it's your government telling you that you can't have arms, or your government telling you about vaccinations, we're not going to get into that, or your government's telling you that you can only go 50 miles an hour, that tells you that I'm not from Canada, or he tells you you can go 80 miles an hour, okay? Whatever it is, or you got your wife that's not doing this, your husband's not doing that, your garbage is not this, your garbage is not that. So what I'm going to tell you, these principles, in my view, are for all of life, but it just focuses down on this so-called physical problem. So we're going to start at the beginning, and the beginning is this. Who is God? Who are you? And what happened to man that he is a sufferer and a sinner? Now, you got counseling groups that emphasize the sinner. And that's what they said Jay Adams did, and they kicked him out of the choir, okay? All right? Now, that's my interpretation, okay? Then you got another group that emphasized the suffering. So he's a sufferer. Well, let me tell you, don't do either one. You got a right hand and a left hand, most of us, okay? All right? You're a suffering sinner and a sinning sufferer. You need to bring those two together and make sure you link them together. Now, how are you going to link them together? If I started talking to you about that, you wouldn't, that wouldn't be good. I wouldn't be doing you a good job, but just at least grab a hold of that, okay? So the firm foundation is necessary in order for the church and believers, and only the believers, to gain victory. How many times do you go to the physician and hear the word victory? Now, if you've got appendicitis, he can talk to you about victory, but it doesn't seem like there's victory away. But what if you got at that time? But what if you got rheumatoid? How do you spell victory? You got this 35-year-old lady that's got three kids. She's a teacher. Her husband's kind of a doofus. You know, y'all have that in Canada. Okay, a doofus. Okay, all right. Now, he's a nice doofus, but he's still a doofus. And he's still used to his wife doing the things that wives do. But she's not able to do it, so she's pushing. So she's there, and I'm sitting there with this lady with active synovitis. You know what active synovitis is? Synovium is the lining of the joint that's inflamed. And you can feel it, okay? You can see it, okay? And you know that there is people that hurt. Now, they may not tell you they hurt. There's a lot of people that tell you they don't hurt, but they have active synovitis. So I really don't care if they tell me they hurt. They have active rheumatoid arthritis. That's something objective, not subjective, and I'm going to talk to you about that in a little bit. And so, well, how is I going to help this lady? So there, in a bit of the conversation, you come to know, is, does she know the Lord? Or you don't have to ask it that way, but you can ask it in such a way. What's her relationship with Jesus? Where does your Bible fit in? That's an easier question to ask. How does your Bible fit in to this problem? Most people, they don't know, or they will say, what do you think? They will say what? Well, I prayed about it. Right? So what did you pray? And they don't usually have that question asked. Well, I prayed it to be gone. I said, okay, so what does God say? That's a question they don't get asked either. God said no. So then I ask them what? Have you responded to God's no? And how do you know God's no is forever? How do you know there's not a yes to his no around the corner, just like there was with Job? But Job took God to court. That's what he wanted to do. Okay? So, you help this lady, you get her rheumatoid under control, and you treat her as a whole person. So, here's the point I'm making. Okay? Only the believer and the church can be victors. And there's no question that pain, you know, I don't have to tell you this, there's no question that pain is a plight of fallen man in a fallen world. And you could probably think Romans 5, 12 through 14, okay, that's all part of just the physical problems that we have in our body and the spiritual problems that we have in our body. Well, no, you do? Yes, we do, because we're whole people, right? Okay? Jay Adams talked about the duplex. Now, I'm getting off here, and I got to be careful. But the duplex is your inner man and outer man. You're a unit. You're a unit. You don't talk about your brain. You talk about your outer man, because there's no word in the Bible for brain. You got it? You got it? Okay? Soma is the word for the Bible, for the body, and basar is the word. That's a Greek for the Hebrew. So when you talk about your mind, medicine has it wrong. Your mind is your inner man. That's where you think, desire, and act. And being clever people that you are, you know that's the same thing with the mind. And the spirit does that. The soul does that. The heart does that. We usually your heart. Guard your heart, for this is a wellspring of life. Okay, so it's a whole person problem. So this lady brings to me her heart and a relationship with God with her rheumatoid arthritis, and she doesn't even know she's doing that. Now, I blew it a lot of times. Okay, so I had to learn how to approach this lady from a whole person standpoint. and teacher. God is in the problem, up to something, and up to something good. And you know what? That is, see how clever we are? That gets us right now into what I was going to say now. These are non-negotiable truths, okay? But before I say that, the cross highlights the fact that pain, misery, and death are part of the plight, are part of the whole milieu of life as long as we're on this earth. You can't outrun the curse of sin. You cannot. Right? But we don't want to do what the Job's friends did, that say, hey, you got so many physical problems, therefore you're bad and you must repent, not because it's God's going to bless you, but because you're going to get something from God. And what they also said is that we don't have these physical problems, therefore we don't have to repent. There's always an up and a down, and you always have to take both of those, a right and a left. Don't separate the two, okay? So then the non-negotiable facts are this, okay? Is that God, self, and the providence of God, okay? And so here's the thing. These are things that I can read to you. You can read them yourself. But when you're that 23-year-old girl with three kids and active rheumatoid arthritis, don't know where to go, don't know where your God is, although he's right there, Emmanuel, okay? These are theological mountains to climb. You don't go take truth and beat people up with it. You can kind of do that from the pulpit, but you can't do that in the pew. Okay? Right? Okay? So you got to meet people where they are and bring them where they're supposed to be. And I had to learn that. And at first, I didn't do a very good job. But I've repented of that. Okay? All right? So I say, unfortunately, people don't want to start here. The key is bringing God's truth to bear that is appropriate for that person in his situation, given his level of spiritual maturity and his willingness to listen. The onus is on you as a truth bringer. You don't want to dump truck a load of truth on that person. Now, I understand if he's out there with a gun in his hand, he's running around, or he's committing adultery or whatever, she is, whatever. Okay, you know, there's certain things that, whoa. Jay Adams is a friend of ours and the pastor's, and whoa, he said, was the greatest. He said the greatest word in counseling. I think he would say now it's the greatest word in one anothering ministry. Whoa. And the first person you say woe to is who? Yourself. You got it? So that's another. Get that. Make sure, because when you start having a body that doesn't work, it's going to go into the gutter if you're not careful. Okay? I've seen it. I've seen it myself. I've seen it in my patients, and it takes a dump truck to pull it out sometimes. Okay, so people don't want to start here. Okay, so here it is: God is man's environment, Psalm 139. Okay, that's so simple. You read that, but God is man's environment. He's everywhere. You know what that is? That's the covenantal God, Hesed, his covenantal faithfulness. Do you believe that God is and God exists and he's for you if you're a believer? Do you believe that? And you, and the point is, he's going to find out if you believe it when he puts you down in a hole. That's when you're going to find out. Now, he does that not because he's trying to beat you up, but because he's trying to what? James 1 says faith is going to mature. It's going to mature, okay, when you're in what? Trouble. You could call God, I guess, if you wanted to, and say, God, I want my faith to mature in good times. Now, don't get me wrong. Proverbs 37 through 9. Proverb guy says, don't give me bad times, don't give me good times, because there's each of them are a time to sin. Okay, all right? But there's something about hard times when you can't see what's ahead that God wants to put you in. So therefore, you have to depend on him. Okay? So, here we go. God is in the problem, up to something, and up to something good, now and eternally. Okay, that's Genesis 15 to 21 and Romans 8, 28 and 29. I have learned to use that Romans 8, 28 and 29 much more humbly and much more softly. To tell somebody with rheumatoid that has three kids and she doesn't know what's going on, and you tell her that God is up to something good, that's not her first thought. And especially as I not knowing her. Now, you may, if her, your husband, you might be able to say that because you know your wife. But when I don't know her, I don't want to just drop a dump load of truth on her. So I've learned to use that differently. But the word is, Paul says, and we know. Paul uses we himself. He knows that God is energeo. You could probably figure that out, right? Erg, energy. God is a working God. And he's always working. Okay? All right? He never sleeps. He never slumbers. And he always gets what he pleases. Okay? All right? So, God is completely sovereign. This is from Jerry Bridges, and I'd recommend to you, read his book, Trusting God and Can You Trust God? But God is completely sovereign. That would be his power and control, right? Okay? And he's infinite in wisdom, and he's perfect in love. So, he brings about what he needs to bring about for his glory and for your good. You have to get that. I lost my wallet on a boat. And that Romans 8, 28, 29 was not the first, second, or third thing that came to my mind. I had to repent of that. Okay? Now, I've got the wallet back, okay? Because maybe he knew that I was a doofus and I was going to continue to sin. But my brother-in-law prayed for me. And it was very interesting. And so I said, whoa. So I woed myself. So I would suggest that you guys get into the habit of woeing yourself. And keep track of how many times you woe yourself. Right? Now, so the second thing is, and this is also from Jerry Bridges. He says, God in his wisdom knows, wisdom and love, knows what is best and actually brings about what is best for him because he's powerful. And he's in control. Now, here's the problem. It doesn't seem like he's in control at times, right? That's the problem, right? God, you can't be in control. I mean, that's what happened with Job, right? He couldn't figure out what was going on. In John 9, remember the man born blind, okay? They said, we got it figured out. It's got to be him or it's got to be his parents. And what did Jesus say? You wonder what his voice was. You wonder how it says, you got it wrong. It doesn't say that in the verse, but it says neither. Jesus is neither. Must have been crashing down, almost like you dummies. You're thinking wrong. So don't be afraid to get on yourself when you're thinking wrong. Okay, all right. Then I like to talk about I wrote down here. We went to the Maritime Museum and we saw the 1917 exhibit. Okay, you know where the two ships are, and there has a it reminded me of the caption reminded me of Rabbi Kushner's book. When bad things happen to good people. Anybody know that book? You realize that? Okay. He's a Jew guy, you know. His son was born with progeria. You know what that is? That means he's 80 and he's only 5. Okay. And so he said, I got to figure God out. Okay. If you are in that boat, you need to repent. Okay. And he figured out God this way. If he was really good, this wouldn't happen. If it happened, he couldn't have been very powerful. So he concluded that God wasn't powerful or good, and he didn't really say which one. Okay, but in any event, but that 1917 thing, there was a plaque on there. You probably have seen it more than I have seen it. But the guy looked over the devastation. He lost his family, lost his wife. Everything was razed to the ground. He said, "If God has caused this, then he needs to turn in his clerical collar." In other words, they blaspheme God. I suspect blasphemy is much more common than we realize. Okay? Okay? It's not attributing something to the Holy Spirit. I understand that. But what they were saying, God couldn't do this. God can't be in control. So be careful. So then I have six P's. Really, you can have seven or eight, however many. But I like I'm just a simple guy. I like to have things that I can remember. So the P's are God is personal. God is present. Now, isn't that the message of the covenant? I will be your God and you will be my people. Wasn't that the message to Mary, okay, and Joseph? Was it that Jesus will be Emmanuel, God with his people? He will save his people. You know, as a virgin, you receive that. God is Emmanuel. God is with his people. Wow, you know, what is going on here? Okay, all right. So God is—he's a person, and he's personal. He's present, and then there's power, there's promises, there's a plan, there is a program to get that done, and there's provisions. So all those P's, however you want to do it, you can change your letter if you want, but try to get something that you can call to mind easy. Say you're over there with rheumatoid arthritis, and your synovitis is going. You want to have something that you can call to mind easy. Let's say you're vomiting your guts out because you got the flu, okay? You want to have something you can call to mind in those situations because it's easy to go the other way. Easy to go the other way, okay? All right? Now, let's go to self, okay? Every person lives in God's world as his image bearer. He's a resident. He's a dependent being. He's a covenantal being, right? You guys are covenanters right here, right? In the true sense of the word, okay? You understand the covenant. Man was born as a covenant being. He's dependent on God. Just because he doesn't believe he is doesn't mean he's not. Just because you believe you're a girl doesn't mean that you are. Right? Same way. Okay? All right? So here we are. Okay? So every person is a theologian. He has beliefs about himself, about God, about other people, about the world. And you're either, listen now, you're either a good theologian or a bad theologian. And as a believer, we are by nature good theologians because we're regenerated, but we function as bad theologians. Job functioned as a bad theologian. And he was a top dog in the sainthood world. God said, have you seen my servant Job? He's a top man. That means he's complete in everything. And he was saying that to Satan. But that's another story, okay? All right. But now, so the question is, what kind of theologian are you? And you should ask yourself that. Now, the catechism catechism question six, I think it's six, okay, six or nine, but is what is God's providence? His most holy, wise, powerful, preserving and governing all of his creatures and their world, in his world. So we live in God's world as resident aliens. That's the bad side. But then we have an alien righteousness, if we're believers, that's given to us as a right standing because God, Christ, in his perfect law keeping, secured that righteousness. Now, that's your identity. Do you go along? Do you have a t-shirt on? I am a Christian, or I am a saint, or I'm a whatever you want to say it. Or is that written in your head? Is it written on your brain? Is it written in your heart so that you remember it and you want to bring it to mind when there's tough times? Okay? All right. Sproul said this, if there is a random molecule in the world, God is not sovereign. Okay? And if he is not sovereign, he is not God. Therefore, he's not trustworthy. So go do what you want to do. Forget about it. You're in the wrong church. But if God is sovereign, there is no random molecule, there's no random event, then you need to bow the knee to him. Okay? Now, what does this have to do with pain and rheumatoid and all this? I kind of alluded to that, so I hope you. So let me go to this one. And this was a little tougher, but you'll see this on the handout tomorrow. So we've gone to non-negotiable truths, God, self, and providence. Now we're going to pain, okay? You know, everybody knows what pain is, they think, because everybody has it, right? Okay? I mean, that's just common experience. Everybody has some kind of pain. But when you get to the gurus, okay, they'll tell you pain is a bodily physical discomfort. It's felt and it's subjective. And the person knows if he has pain. The person knows he has pain because he tells you he has pain. Now, you can tell me you have a headache. I can't tell you if you had a headache or not. And you can't prove to me you have a headache. Now, if I go to an MRI and I see a tumor sticking through your skull, I can say your headache is probably coming from that tumor, okay? But listen, there's plenty of people that go around with abnormal MRIs that never have pain. You got to remember that. And there's people that have rheumatoid that don't tell you much about pain. So I'm going to kind of give you some examples to try to help you. This lady, she came from Tennessee. You don't know where that is, maybe, but I'm from South Carolina, so she is like this. Okay, so she came. She was on 5 or 10 milligrams of prednisone. A little lady. Her husband was a little bigger, but not much bigger. And he kind of followed her along. And she told me what she wanted. I got rheumatoid. I want you to tell me it's okay to take prednisone. Okay? Now, she wasn't quite that pushy, but it was almost that pushy, okay? I said, so now let me make sure. You're telling me that you're here for me to tell you that the medicine you're on is okay. So now, I'm teaching you how to practice medicine on yourself. So what would you do? Help me understand how you arrived at that conclusion. And she looked at me. Because nobody ever asked her to think, okay, instead of just tell, okay? Pastors and teachers and doctors are good at teaching and telling. So my wife is over there giving me signals if I'm going too fast or going too slow or missing the point, okay? I had to work on that, okay? So I said, so now you want me to tell you that it's okay to take only this medicine, which you've been taking for about 10 years, and you've already got deformities, you still got swelling in your hands, because I had examined her, okay? I'm not that good. I got to examine somebody, okay? And so, and you want me to tell you that it's okay to take your prednisone? I said, I'm not going to do that, because I'd be lying to you, okay? All right? I said, plus... Are you a believer? Where does God fit into all this? Well, she said she was a believer. So then I said, I was a little muff then, okay? I said, not oof at her, but I was a little more. I said, so if you tell me you're a Christian and you're limiting God to what he's going to give you that can make you better than what you are? She never heard that. She never thought of her doing that. I said, your disease is not in control, and let me show you. And I was able then to be confirmed that when I got a CBC and sed rate. Her sed rate was up. She was a little anemic, okay? All right? And so, and I looked at her x-rays. We looked at her x-rays together. I mean, we had that situation we could. I said, your disease is not under control. You may think it is, but you're wrong. And prednisone is not the best drug for you, although it is a very good drug, and I use a lot of it, but I use it rightly. And the way you're taking it every day is not right. She didn't like that. But the husband who had been in the corner over there, he started coming closer to us. Okay, that lady's smiling, so you probably know about that, okay? And so he had been pushed to the side, although he had never said that, but you just know just from seeing people like that. So I looked at him and said, so what do you think? I think we need to get our disease under control. And she looked at him. She didn't look real bad at him, but I don't think she was too excited, okay? I said, so there, you heard it from your husband, and now you're hearing it from me, but more than that, you're hearing it from God. God says that you're not being a good steward of your body, and you need to repent of that. Well, she left, went back to Tennessee, and I never heard from her again. She said she would go and get some medicine, so I wrote a letter to her doctor. But whether she did or not. But those are theological encounters in the doctor's office. If you don't think biblical-based medicine, the practice of it and the receiving of it, you'll never handle a patient like that. And she'll walk away. There may be a guy that can treat rheumatoid better than me or as good as me. But in terms of ministering to the whole person, she would miss a very, very important encounter. So I was ministering to her like she was my sheep. But she's not my sheep because she didn't go to my church, but she still was a disciple. And that's very important. So make sure you get that. Okay, so now look. So let me just get this about pain. Pain, if you go look up on the internet or look wherever, you look at the psych people, pain people, whatever, they're going to tell you that pain is an experience, okay? I remember Jay, the guy said, he said, go to the dentist and I'll give you a good experience. He said, I don't want an experience, I just want my tooth fixed. Okay, so don't be careful about experiences, guys. Okay, all right. So, but it's experience of bad feelings, discomfort. I got an unpleasantness. Okay, now, and they elevated that up to the Phi Beta Kappa of the pain world. Okay, that is so silly. They say it has a cognitive aspect. That's thinking. It has a subjective effect. Okay, and it has a an action effect, of action aspect of it. So don't get too. I put down here, and you can read that. It says pain is something. Pain means something is wrong in the body, but not necessarily with the body. Please make sure you take that home and put it on your mantle and think about it. The pain in the body and the pain with the body. Now, if you come in and tell me that you have, and we're going to talk about a sign and a symptom. And you mothers know it's like kiddos. And so you come in here and the kid says, I don't feel good. And so you stick a thermometer in his mouth and he has a temp of 101. Okay? But you got another kid in there that's just bouncing all over the floor. But you are a little concerned about him. So you stick a thermometer in that. He's got a temp of 101. Okay? You've seen that. Okay? I'm okay, but I'm okay. The other guy's going crazy. Okay? All right? Okay? So the temperature, the thermometer picks up a sign, 98.6, 103, okay, all right? I got a fever. How do you know? Because I feel feverish. That's subjective. That is a symptom, okay, all right? So something wrong with the body would be more subjective, okay? Now, don't get me wrong. If you've got rheumatoid arthritis, you know something's wrong with your body. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the symptom. Just because you have rheumatoid arthritis and your shoulder hurts doesn't mean you have rheumatoid arthritis in your shoulder. You understand that? Okay, all right? And most doctors don't know their shoulder from something else, okay? You mean I can show you the coracoid, the supraspinatus, and the AC joints. Those can all give you problems. They think the hip is the TBs or the SIs, and that they miss the point. They do x-rays and get all kinds of things. Sounds like I'm getting on my people's case, and I guess in a way I am, because it's just very simple to take care of people if you just know a few basic things and you go from the inside out. So I want to know my people. I want to know what makes them tick. And there's some people that are just, they don't like God. And they don't like me bringing that up. And I have to back off on that, which is tough, but always looking for a way to bring biblical truth to bear, okay? And you got to look at a way to bring biblical truth to bear on you, because if you don't do it to yourself and you want to do it to somebody else, you're a hypocrite. Learn to do it to yourself and then do it to others. That's one anothering. I got a book coming out on one anothering. There's 50 or so places in the New Testament. That's the Greek Al-Anon, one anothering, okay? So we're all one anothering people. God made us social beings. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. That means we were seeking something else after sin. So we are made to be together, but we're made to be together God's way, not your way, not even your wife's way, Okay, but you better listen to your wife. Okay, so here's the thing. So pain is something wrong in the body, but not necessarily with the body. So if you got a headache and an MRI that shows that you have a brain tumor, those two may be related, but maybe not. So the physician has to make sure. So he goes in and cuts out your brain tumor, and you still got your headache. Okay, so be careful. Make sure the guy understands. Is there something wrong in my body, or is there something wrong with my body? Rheumatoid arthritis means there's something wrong with your body. Ulcerative colitis means there's something wrong with your body. But if you have tummy pain and some diarrhea, there may be just something that's in your body, not with your body. Do you understand that? Is that helpful? I hope it is helpful. At least think about it, okay? All right? So symptoms are subjective. Signs are objective. So when I've just trained myself, I mean, I saw a lady walking with a valgus deformity and a flexed knee. So I just, it just comes natural to me. I just walk, okay? I mean, just watch and you see. And so if you see people like Chester, do y'all get Chester up here? That's Gunsmoke, you know, he walks with that limp like that, okay? That can be polio, or it could be hip disease that you're moving the center of gravity off of that hip. And studies have shown that's about a 20 times effective to decrease off of the pressure, so the pain is less. But you cause problems in your back, you cause problems in the other side, you cause problem with both knees, and in the end, you don't accomplish anything. You just traded one problem for three problems. Okay, so we just get in the habit of watching people. Listen, watch their eyes, listen to them, see how they talk, see what they do, see what they don't do. It's interesting what happens, okay? Jesus must have been an expert in that. So because of man's union with Christ, with Adam, you understand that? Man's, we're all in Adam, right? You know, no problem, that's reform. If you don't believe that, then you can't be reformed, okay? But because of our union with Adam, all illness and misery in this life, including physical problems, result from the curse of sin. And I've given you some Romans 5, 12 and 14, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, Ezekiel. But those will be on that. So sin is the problem, but not every physical problem is sin engendered. Everybody with me? Okay? All right? I don't think that's me. No, okay. That's not me. Okay. All right. That's all right. So not every physical problem. That's what happened with Job. They said, we don't have it. You do. We're better than you. You need to repent. Okay. All right. Okay. So you have symptoms, okay? Because there's actual tissue damage, okay? Rheumatoid, OA of the knee or hip or whatever, okay? Ulcerative colitis, okay? Second, sometimes there's no discoverable tissue pathology. And that always reaches a problem. People always said, well, you don't believe me. Okay, I've had people tell me that. You don't believe me, okay? But we know the body is not flawless, so there's going to be symptoms that develop in people that we will never be able to know a cause, okay? Doctors need to just say, I don't know, okay? All right? And then medical science, technology, and physicians are limited. Third, from the way a person uses his thinking and his body in responding to life situations. Now, they're going to call those psychological. They're going to call those emotional. See, I don't think that we should use that, because what we should be using is not even psychosomatic. That's the Greek word, okay? But spiritual physiologic. And when we talk about spiritual in biblical counseling, you should be talking about the Holy Spirit. Not some animus out there, not some Greek goddess, not some Eastern mysticism, okay? All right? So pain is perceived and felt in the body, but now it's evaluated and interpreted due to the creational design of man's duplex nature. Are you with me on a duplex nature? Do you understand what I mean by that? Okay? We're inner man and outer man, and we're linked together. That was Jay's teaching. But Jay focused on thinking, and he was opposed to, on doing. And he didn't emphasize thinking and wanting, because he was inundated by Carl Rogers, who was a humanistic psychologist and believed that man was good and he could figure it out on his own. So you had non-directive counseling. And so feelings, and more feelings. You live by your feelings. I will tell you this. Don't buy Satan's lie. Satan's feelings are good, but they're linked to thoughts and desires. So let me give you an example. So I've had people come in, they say, okay, and this is, and I've got some other examples, but anyway, a lady that has, quote, fibromyalgia, you know, you probably heard that. I will talk about that later. But she comes in, she says, I hurt. Okay, so when do you hurt? Whenever I see this lady, okay, or see this man, or see this car, or see this whatever, okay? Or I say, okay, well, help me understand. Tell me about that. Well, what's there to say? I said, so here's this person. He is outside of you. Right, he's outside of me. Okay. And so here you are, and you say, he's made you hurt. Did he touch you? No. Did he throw something at you? No. So how is something on the outside of you causing you to hurt? That is on the inside of you. So we never doubted that she hurt. Okay? Now, that is a stumper. People can't figure it out. How is something on the outside going to affect you on the inside? Now, I hope you guys are clever. Now, that sounds like I'm being ugly to you. Please, okay? Rewind that, okay? Pastor John, rewind that so it doesn't show up. Okay? But here's the thing. It has to be what? The way she's thinking or he's thinking about what's out there. What's out there is not the issue. What's the issue? How she's responding or he's responding to what's out there, thinking and wanting. So I'll tell people, you change your thinking and wanting, and your feelings will change, and your actions will change. Now, that will get you a long way if you agree with that and you hold on to that. Feelings are not the problem. Don't live by your feelings, good ones or bad ones. Okay? It's your thoughts and desires that precede the feelings. You with me? Nobody's smiling, so I don't know where you guys are, but anyway, okay. All right, anyway. So look, so pain is perceived, felt in the body, evaluated, interpreted, okay? A person knows he has pain, why? Because he says he hurts, okay, all right? A person may not say he hurts, but he should because he's got an arrow in his arm, okay, right, okay, all right? And another person says he hurts, and there's nothing wrong. Okay, that you can see, okay, all right? That's where you get into this, quote, psychological, emotional. Well, remember, emotions don't hurt. You hurt. In your anger, you're angry. You're an angry person. So you hurt because things are going awry in your body. Fear. So let me say this. So there's anger can be sinful or non-sinful. Fear can be sinful or non-sinful. But there's, in that milieu, there's feelings all around, but there's thoughts and desires. I don't believe there's such things as worry that is not sinful. I think all worry is sinful. Now, we don't want to get into that, but I will tell you that the Greek word for anxious or worry most of the time is from the word merimah, which comes from the root has marizo, which means to cut asunder. So I like to say to somebody, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Okay? They have a separation of the inner man. That is worry, and that's sin. Now, then you say, well, when is worry concern? And so that Greek word that I told you about in two places, 1 Corinthians 12:26 and 2 Corinthians 11:28, they use the word, that same word is there in the original, but they call it concern. Okay, all right? So be careful of taking what the commentators may say, or what you read, and then interpreting it yourself. Otherwise, you'll be like Martin Luther. He was concerned about the Bible being a wax nose and then changing it for whatever it is. Okay, so I kind of got off there. But anyway, so what a person wants An attitude. I got this. Here's the attitude affects how one feels, evaluates, interprets pain. But see, it doesn't just interpret pain. You interpret people, life, God, yourself. Okay? All right? And then what a person wants affects how he feels. Pain. The intensity of pain can be modified by how one views pain. Now, you will see this, yoga, all kinds of this mindfulness, meditation, all of that. What are they doing? Psychotherapy. They're changing how you think. They're stealing from God. The Bible tells you that's the way He's made us. But why pay money to run to this false God and throw away the cross and what He's gained? Okay? All right? That's a hard sell, maybe. Maybe you don't like that. But, you know, but just think about it. At least think about it, okay? Because pain may be present when no actual tissue damage is found, or when tissue damage is found but no cure is available. And listen to this now. Pain relief and avoidance of pain should not be a person's main goal in life. I want you to leave with that. If your goal in life is to have be pain-free, forget it, because it probably won't come. Okay? All right? God is not going to be mocked. He's given you that situation. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to go to the doctor. I've got something like that. Go to the doctor to be a good steward of his body. But be satisfied with being a good steward, whether the pain goes away or not. Okay? All right? And then don't let the doctor do it all. Okay? I see that in people that have had knees, and I'm not speaking about anybody in this room, but I'll tell you, back in the South, you know, we have these little old ladies, they're often chubby, okay? They have bad knees, okay? They need to lose some weight, okay? They're not being good stewards of their body, okay? They're not doing their quads. So here's what I would do. I say, listen, and their daughters are often there, and these are often blacks. It's very interesting. The daughters pick up, they get up on this and say, look, we got to help mama. How are we going to do that? Well, nobody knows. She won't do that. She sits over. So let's do this. Okay. Let's have a worship service 4 times a day. Okay. All right. And we're not Muslims. Okay. We're not having that. Okay. But what are we doing? We're doing our quads. You do 20 quads a day, 4 times. You pray to God before, you pray to God after. Okay. I'll show you your quads later, but that's a very simple thing. 3 months of doing your quads will make a difference if you do what you're supposed, if you do them. If you don't do them, you're not going to do it. And so that's how I bring in. This is the one time I like to talk about integration. We integrate the whole person and minister to the whole person. So they can be excited about pleasing God, and they're going to get the benefits, okay? Okay. And even if they go on and have surgery, if they don't go on to have surgery, they're going to do better after the surgery. Because the surgeon can help the knee, but he can't help the muscle. He can help the bone, but he can't help the muscle. You're going to have to strengthen that. Now, they'll send you to therapy afterwards. And that's just taking your money, in my opinion, okay? Because you can do that yourself, okay? All right? Now, I may be stepping on my toes here, but that's okay, okay? So now look. So look, and you don't have to believe me. That's okay. I don't have to believe you either, okay? You only have to believe the pastor when he's preaching, okay? All right? But even that, you can quiz him. Where do you get that? Okay, all right. So look, a person's response to pain may be controlled by his desire for pain relief, because pain may be present when no actual tissue damage is found, or when tissue damage is found but no cure is available. Pain relief and avoidance of pain should not be a person's main goal. That's what I want to leave you. Not that I'm not going to get your rheumatoid under control or get your lupus under control, but I'm just helping you be God's kind of patient. That's the thing. So, and what happens, the more you want it gone, what do you think happens? The more it's there, right? Okay, all right. As a result, pain often intensifies. When that happens, the person is faced with the reality of having a body he doesn't like And if you pursue, and I've had people like that, they'll pursue pain, and they'll keep pursuing. I had a guy that had pain, and he had aches and pains. He'd been called fibromyalgia. He'd had it for about 10 years. I said, "So what's going on?" "Oh, well, I want this pain gone." "Okay, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm praying." You know, you think, "Well, that's good. Okay, what are you praying for? It to be gone." And so I said, "Well, what did God say?" "No." And I said, "Okay, so have you responded to God's no?" "I must not be a very good prayer person." I said, "Have you ever thought that maybe God wants you to change your approach to your problem?" "What do you think he said?" "No. I want this gone." So he wasn't interested in pleasing God. He was interested in using God. Don't use God, people. Please don't use people. Don't use God, please. And so look, too often life is about now. You know about the now? The now versus the eternal. You have a now. The what you can see, taste, touch, and feel. Nothing wrong with the senses, okay? Nothing wrong with a good meal. You could taste, touch, and feel it, okay? All right? But you have to have something super sensual. You have to have the taste, touch, and feel of, say, of a good meal, but it has to be run through the biblical grid, the interpretive grid of God's truth, so you understand there's something bigger than you, and it's not pain relief, okay? It's pleasing God. Now, that's a hard sell. I've been there. It's a hard sell. But you could see how that same deal, when you've lost a baby, you've lost a husband, you've lost a mother, you lost a father, right? Okay? The same principles apply. They're no different, right? Okay? All right? So look, then culture's view of pain, we're coming down, hold on. The culture's view of pain is that pain is bad, get rid of it. I think I was talking to him about how Canada is squeezing people. They don't want to use opioids. So, and what they'll do is, look, if they don't have meds, they got to do something else. They got to send you therapy. They got to send you a psychiatrist. They got to send you to this, this, and this. And so they're just playing the games. They're just swimming with alligators. And they're not winning. You have to bring the Bible into that situation. You have to understand what's going on, what can be done, accept where God has you. By accepting it, that means using it to grow and change and become more like Christ. You'll hear me say that the next three lectures. Okay? Now, the culture solution is just to get pain relief and go about your business. Okay? All right? But that just leads to a downward spiral of helplessness and hopelessness. Okay, and then you're so far down in the hole, you can't get out. Okay, now, so then the question we become, how much pain relief is enough? When will it stop? I can't go on. I hear that so many times. Let me tell you, are y'all okay? Are we all right? I don't know. Have I gone over? Or I don't even know what time it is. Huh? You want me to stop?
You can go ahead and finish.
Are y'all all right? Okay. I had this one lady... no, I won't tell you about her. This is a lady that was never satisfied, and you couldn't do enough for her. Her husband couldn't do enough for her, and everybody was miserable. Okay? So remember, even though you're the one that hurts, there's other people around you, including your doctor. Okay? All right? And I said, "Do you ever put a smiley face on when you come?" "No." That's what they said. And the whole point was, I have a right to have a frown. And you see, as I'm talking here, I'm thinking through, and I've never really thought through. I'm saying some things that I haven't really said before or even written down. But that's what's happening. We all grow. And I'm growing tonight, and I appreciate that. Now, what's the Bible's view of pain? Then we'll be done. It's a given, a universal, unescapable part of life in a fallen world. So if you don't like it, take it up with God. And I promise you, you will. But you may not like the conversation. Okay, that sounds ugly. Okay, but it's not ugly. I just, okay, whose world is it? See, this is your kid. This is your kid. The room is a mess. Whose room is it? It's mine. It's not. It's ours. You're just boring it. You go clean up your room. It's my room. And that's what it is with pain. This is my world. Jesus can have pain, but I don't have pain. You treat him better. You're not treating me any better than you treated Jesus. In other words, they want better treatment than God gave Jesus. You understand that? Did I say that right? Okay, all right. And so it's all right for Jesus to have his problem, but it's not all right for me to have the problem. Well, who are you? Well, I'm Ms. Brown. Okay, well, who was Jesus? Well, he's the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. But you're not going to hear people going to say that. And you may not even be tempted to say that. So you got to train yourself. Okay, so we are his creatures. Common kindness and saving grace. See, this always gets you. Is that why? Read Psalm 73. Okay, all right. It's interesting. He praised God in verse 1, and then he goes to the next 15 verses and say, look at the bad guys. They got it good, and I've been a Christian for the wrong reason. And then he catches himself. And he says, if I had thought that I would say that to myself, if I myself said that, I would have thought I was goofy. Okay, he didn't say that, but that's what he meant. Okay, and then he said he came into the presence of God. There's Emmanuel. I don't think that's just going into the temple. I think that's coming to the very presence of God, like Job. And he understood that the life is not about him, and it's not even about those bad guys, because he knew they were bad guys. Life is about pleasing God. And he says in that next verse, he says, I was like a senseless animal. You know, there's been senseless animals in the Bible. One is Esau. He traded his birthright to fill his belly with a partridge. That's what fools do. That's what animals do. That's what you and I do when we seek something else other than pleasing God. Nobody likes that. They don't want to be called a fool. Okay? All right? But Proverbs 26:11 says, it says, the fool returns to his vomit, or a fool returns to his folly as a dog returns to his vomit. The vomit there is self-pleasing. When you desire to please yourself more than you desire to please God, you're returning to vomit. You're a fool and you're an animal. Okay, Proverbs 12:1, and I'll stop there. It says that fools don't like to be disciplined. Okay, all right. So look, here we go. Just finish this up. How should we then leave? And here, I'm going to teach this so you don't get mad at me. Is it wrong to seek pain relief? And I said, it depends on the standard used, the motivation behind the pain relief, and your response if pain relief doesn't come. Okay? So I said, no, it's not wrong when the focus is twofold. Stewardship of the body in order to please God, okay, and using all the opportunities that God has given you. Okay? That's good. Take care of your body. I mean, I want people to come. I want to see them. Okay. Well, then another answer is yes, it is wrong when pain relief becomes more important than pleasing God. Okay, all right. And then the issue then. So how will you know? Evaluate your response when you get what you want. How will you know? Evaluate your response when you get what you want or you get what you don't want. Okay, make sure you do that. Okay, and then let me close with this. The issue, the practice of medicine, the receiving of medical care are theological activities. I hope I've convinced you of that. Okay, I hope I have. And you're not going to find a lot of doctors that would agree with that. Okay, all right. And the issue is one of stewardship of your whole person, your inner man, thoughts, desires, and actions, and your outer man, your brain. Okay, and your rest of your body. Okay, now I don't mind answering some questions if somebody wants to ask. You got any questions or I tied you out? Okay, all right. Well, let me pray. I'll pray, okay, then. Okay. Father God, it's a whirlwind. And these are probably words that a lot of people haven't heard or maybe have heard or hadn't thought about. I don't know that I did the best job in presenting them to God, but I would say take my frail efforts and help these people to take some, if not all, of these truths and use them for your glory, for the good of the kingdom. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.